Well, it's a real privilege to be invited to preach on Super Sunday. Those of you that ordered the chicken wings, they'll be coming in any moment now. I want to continue reading where the scripture reading was left off. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to pick up now at verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. And I'd like to go back to verse 23, kind of our focus for this morning. Please, this is Jairus talking to Jesus. "Now, please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Now, one of the disciples who was invited to come in and witness this raising of the girl to life, one of them was John. And I'm just wondering if when John writes his gospel, if he's thinking about that moment when he was with Jesus and Jairus' daughter was raised, because he writes in chapter 1, verse 4 of the Gospel of John, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and our ears to your word and to your ministry, that you would lay your hands upon us, that you would heal and renew and bring life to our souls in this time. And as we come to the table this morning, that we would know the care, the love, the ministry of Jesus in us. Thank you, we pray. Amen. Now, once a month, there's a group of members of the Melody Makers that go out and we sing hymns with Jerry Benson. And Jerry sang with the group for a number of years, but now with his Parkinson's disease, he's not able to do that anymore. And so we go and sing with him. And a number of the people who live there gather and come and are part of that as well. Jerry likes to sing, and he's still quite good at singing. And so we always sing with him what we call his signature song, "He Touched Me." Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me, made me whole. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, and he believed in Jesus as the healer. And he humbly came to Jesus, but also boldly came to Jesus, and he asked for the hands of Jesus to touch his dying 12-year-old daughter. And as a synagogue ruler, he was an important person because he was responsible for the physical care and upkeep of the synagogue building, as well as he was responsible for all the services that went on there. So he was a very important person. He's also one of the few people in the Gospel of Mark who is called by name, Jairus. It's not very many that are actually given a name in Mark's gospel. He was an important person, and he placed himself at the feet of Jesus. Now, when I was in seminary, I was at Yale Divinity School, and there were a lot of promising, bright students there. And one day, theology professor George Lindbeck said in class, "The kingdom of God needs cooks, bottle washers, and bureaucrats." I've always remembered that. Because he was speaking to these students, many of whom thought of themselves as bishops, professors, and college presidents. And in fact, some of them became those things. But he said, what the kingdom needs is cooks and bottle washers and bureaucrats. That's what the kingdom of God needs. And he was saying that the kingdom of God doesn't need more bishops and presidents, because there'll always be them. There'll always be people who want to do those kinds of things. But it needs cooks and bottle washers, bureaucrats. That is to say, the kingdom of God always will need people who are willing to kneel at the feet of Jesus. And I think he was saying as well that the kingdom needs bishops and presidents who will kneel at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because it is at the feet of Jesus that you get the best view of Jesus, and especially of his hands. And you come to realize that you need Jesus to lay his hands on you. And so this important man, Jairus, knelt at the feet of Jesus because he had faith that if Jesus would just lay his hands on his daughter, she would be healed. And maybe he needed Jesus to lay his hands on him as well. Of course, as Debbie read this morning, the whole passage, there's another whole story intertwined with this one. It's a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. The same amount of time as the age of Jairus' daughter. There's a connection there, you see. But this woman was not seen as very important. She's not given a name in the gospel. And she was considered to be unclean. In fact, she was treated the same way that lepers were treated. A bleeding person could not be accepted in the community, and so she lived a very isolated life. She lived an abandoned life. She lived a life without human touch. Nobody laid hands on this woman, because if they did, even if they touched her clothing, they would become unclean. She was bright. She reasoned this way. If my clothing makes those who touch it become unclean, then the clothing of Jesus will make those who touch it clean. If I touch his clothing, I'll be healed. I'll be clean. Now, most people don't think that way. Most synagogue rulers, most important people, do not put themselves at the feet of Jesus. Most people do not ask Jesus to lay his hands on them. This passage then in Mark is about Jesus confronting death and the power of death. William Lane calls this whole section, it begins in chapter 4, verse 35, goes all the way into chapter 6. He calls it the vanquishing of the powers hostile to God. It starts with the disciples out in the Sea of Galilee, and there's this terrific storm that comes up, and they're terrified, and Jesus calms the storm. And the people in Jesus' day saw in those storms a manifestation of the realm of death, in fact, a demonic power. And Jesus subdues the storm with the power and authority of his word. And then there's a confrontation with a demon who's possessed, or a man who's possessed with a demon, and the name is Legion. And last Sunday, Pastor Ryan helped us understand that story, and we met that man, Legion. Demons are active to distort and destroy the image of God in people. And Jesus cast out those demons, and he gave life to this man. So he was restored to his right mind. And now then, today we read about Jesus who meets Jairus, whose daughter's about to die, but on his way to heal her, an ill and unclean woman touches him, and his power over all that's hostile to God touches the woman, and she's healed. And she's restored to life, and she's brought back into her community, into her family. But in the meantime, the greatest unclean power, death, claims the young girl. And then the hands of Jesus reach through the barrier of death and bring life to this girl. And so John writes in his gospel, in him was life, and that life was the light of the world. And then he reflects further, maybe upon this and other things he's seen Jesus do, and he writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the other thing we notice in this is that faith is important, both for Jairus at Jesus' feet and for the woman who reaches for the hem of his garment. But then we go on and we read in chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, and the people say, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And they took offense at him. and none of them fell at Jesus' feet. And no one asked for him to lay his hands upon them, and no one reached out to touch his garment. Indifference, arrogance, lack of faith are also powers hostile to God. And so I've been thinking about this, thinking about this passage in my own life and Jesus' confrontation with the powers hostile to God and Jesus' confrontation with death and what that has meant to me over the years. I think back over times when certainly I and also we as a church have needed Jesus to lay his hands on us and give us life. There's something in the power of death that lingers. There's something more than grief. It takes the wind out of your sails. It can make you sick for a time. It can make a church sick for a time. It threatens the ministry. So many times I have needed Jesus to lay his hands on me. It was Christmas Eve quite a few years ago. It was a beautiful morning, absolutely bright and clear. And I was sitting in my office and it was quiet. Nobody was around. It was just a beautiful day. I think there was even a little snow on the ground. The light was reflecting. And I was working on my sermon for Christmas Eve service and the phone rang. And it was Skip Baker, and he said simply, "Stan Burkhalter died this morning." And that was not unexpected, but what a deep blow. On Christmas Eve, beautiful day. And it stayed with me, and it stayed with us for a long time. We had hoped he would live. And there's others, many, many others, but some, you know, there are many that come to mind where we had hoped. Mel Eldy and Ken Schuff. The reason this building's here is largely about Ken Schuff. You know, died in his early 40s. Bill Hanstead, who built most of this. Kent Anderson, Brandon Cucci, high school boy. Michelle Anderson. And now, just this week, Avis Holdenberger. And she was the heart of our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And the effects of their deaths just don't go away. They don't go away quickly. Each time we feel the power of death hanging over us, and we carry on, and we continue to worship and to teach and to serve, but you know, the wind goes out of the sails. And we find ourselves becalmed at sea and vulnerable, and maybe ill for a time, and relationships begin to fray. We don't feel quite right. And we need the hands of Jesus, you see. And we need to experience life, and we need to be healed, and we need to feel again the wind of the Spirit. I've been reading Isaiah, getting ready for the spring Sunday school, and Paul Hansen points out that right in the middle of chapter 42, interrupting the prophecy concerning the servant of the Lord, Isaiah begins to sing. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise for the ends of the earth. Israel, you see, is in exile. Israel is a broken community. They feel the effects of war, of captivity, of homelessness, the power of death. They feel it. They're told by those around them that the Babylonian god Marduk is more powerful than the Lord God, and the faith of Israel is threatened. And Isaiah, in the midst of that, Isaiah begins to sing. He begins to sing a new song, for God is breathing new life into the community, and not just the community, but into the whole world. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And the Lord says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Maybe we could even say he'll bring life to the nations. And Jairus says to Jesus, please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and will live. And then it says, and Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, little girl, I say to you, get up. And Hansen writes, God's word does not hover over human misery to be contemplated, but it becomes flesh and lives among people. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us full of grace and truth. Do you long for Jesus today? Do you long for Jesus to lay his hands on you? Do you long for Jesus to bring his healing to you? Do you long for Jesus to bring saving grace to your heart today? Come. Come to the table. Come. Kneel at his feet, he's ready to meet you, to touch you, to speak life into your soul. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hands of Jesus touched me. And now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that fills my soul. Something happened. Now I know. He touched me. Made me whole. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, would you lay your hands on us, make us whole, and bring life, and let the wind of the Spirit come into our souls this day as we receive you now, as we receive the juice and the bread, body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we receive you by faith into our hearts today, will you touch us? Will you minister to the needs of our lives? We kneel at your feet. Thank you, Lord. Amen.